Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're risen, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I think that deserves a real good one. In fact, why don't you all Hallelujah. Just stand and give Jesus a great
big
hand. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise
While you're
Lord.
Standing, let me read some. Of course, one cannot be true without the other. But when you say this, that Easter, the day that we're celebrating, it's the most important day of our Christian celebration. Well, historically, he was born right now, about this time of year, in April. We chose to take another calendar day, but that's okay. Nothing sacrilegious about that. But right after the Passover, which was right around this time, he did. If he hadn't have been born, he couldn't have come to this point. That's for certain. But if this did not and had not taken place, then there would be no salvation for us. This sealed the deal. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
This made it all possible.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now, of all the religions, Islam, Buddhism, all, and the Hindus studied. There's four classes of major classes, and they have millions of gods. But of all of the religions on planet Earth, we alone make this acclamation and this testimony that our God became a human and died and did not go into a desert. Some of them may have disappeared for some of the others, or they walked off and they don't know where, when and where. But ours rose again.
Yes, hallelujah.
And then didn't just disappear with, above Acts said, 500 witnesses watched him. Now this is what John said or recorded concerning that last sit down. 13 through 17, but just these few verses he said in 16. This is what he's saying in that last sit-down supper just before the cross. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, this is what he said he would do. He would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And Jesus said, of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. But the second one is the one that we're celebrating today. He said, of righteousness, because I go to the Father.
Yes.
And you see me no more.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
What seals the deal? What's the guarantee, the ironclad guarantee, that the prayer that you prayed at the moment of salvation and accepted Him as born again, as Savior, and became born again? Jesus said, this is what will reprove the world of righteousness. I am here, but I will not be here, and you will watch my ascension, and you'll know that I left. I went through the grave, and I'm not tucked away in some grave somewhere. I'm not in a desert place somewhere. I have ascended to the Father. Hallelujah. 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 You can't find me on planet Earth no more. I ascended to the Father. Hallelujah.
Yes,
glory be to God.
You,
I think you need to lift up those hands just a little bit, half mask, and praise Him and give Him glory. Father, I worship You. I praise You that our salvation is sure and steadfast, immovable. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, how we give You all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise You, Father God.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Why don't you take a few moments to go around and just announce to the person who already knows it that He has ascended and you've entered into that ascension. You're born again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. All right. He is so worthy. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. I see the lady back that was here Wednesday. Was that when? She had lupus for how long? 5 years? No. 6 years? Last diagnosis or?
Didn't have it. They wanted to know who told me I had it.
Didn't have it. They wanted to know who told her she had it. She's giving her testimony right now if you can't hear it. She said there were 5 or 6 vials of blood and they couldn't find it. Hallelujah. That is a testimony that He is alive. And the blind see, and the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the dumb speak, and the dead are raised, and this gospel is preached. Hallelujah, Jesus. Immokalee is in revival. Glory be to God. How many of you love His presence? It's so wonderful. All right. Hallelujah. 1 John, the little one, the end. It says, how do we know? How do we know? Even when you present the argument and they say, well, were you there? Okay, that's historical at best. Okay, we could levy on them, okay, this is our claim to fame that our Savior's risen. If they're standing there looking at you and say, well, that's conjecture. It's your word against mine. How do you know? 1 John said, every man that has this hope has the witness inside of himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, the moment you say I do, the witness goes off. And the witness bears witness that you are His. And born from above. Hallelujah. So facts only become, from that point on, an icing on the cake. They only become part of what you already know, that you've been born from above. Hallelujah. And He is alive. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You like to put these out. Oh, it's hard to minister when I've got all these pretty granddaughters up here dressed in the same dress. Hallelujah. And who knows what this one in the tummy's dressed as. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see everybody. I don't know where you sit today. I mean, not, I can see where you're sitting. There's a church, and it's worldwide. When they come together, it's pretty well indistinguishable, the who's who. Because if they're born from above, they're His. It's like you've got to be, if you are born again, then you're born again. It's the DNA. It's like, well, they really got saved. No, if you're saved, you're saved. It's like you can't almost be pregnant. You are or you aren't. But if you're born again, you're born again. So the only thing that He could do was this. He could establish the difference. Because once you were born again, He said there was a vineyard, and in the vineyard, laborers went out, and they went out at different times of the day. And it was not a story about the... had anything to do with the order of the time frame. He wasn't trying to teach some sovereign disposition from God, like it didn't matter when you came in. God had the ability because He is sovereign, and He is sovereign, but that's another teaching. Like that He could levy on you a great reward no matter what you did. They missed the boat because He wasn't talking about the consecutive order, but He was talking about this, that in the process of you working in the vineyard, what became your disposition? At the end of the day, He said to the foreman, straw boss, He said, call the men beginning from the last to the first. And at that point, He was talking about the consecutive order in which they were hired. And He had them all stand up and He paid them all the same. And the ingenious of God was this. He really was ingenious in His parable. He said, pay him from the last to the first. And there He was talking about the natural order of things that they did. Those who started at 5 just before the end, they got paid first. And the reason why He did that was the ones who started first in the beginning of the day, they had to stand there and watch. They started at the beginning, and some was hired at the 9 o'clock hour, 12 o'clock hour, 3 o'clock, and then 5, the 11th hour was 5 o'clock. But those ones that started at the beginning of the day working in this vineyard, they had to stand there. And however long it took, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, however many employees He had, and they paid Him all the same, He did it ingeniously so that the ones that were hired first, the litmus test was this. He put something in front of them. Because if they'd been paid first, they'd have just turned and took what was agreed to, walked off, went home, and never knew the end of the story. But they had to stand there and watch. Watch. These guys getting paid the same amount. And then when He get down to the end, the guys that started first, they'd waited all their turn. They found out they were getting the same because that's what they agreed. And then they begin, many of them, to murmur. And then He brings forth His famous, infamous teaching that the last shall be first and the first last. And what He was teaching was not anything about any sequential order of things. What He was teaching about was servanthood. And He went on to say to the disciples, many are called, but few are chosen. Meaning we've all been called. We've all been called to be born again. But the chosen part, that part is up to you. See, He can't love you anymore. His love was maxed out at the cross. It maxed out. He can't love you any more than that. But then, once it transitions from Him to you, then the chosen part was this. You could choose Him in this life. And the guys that were working in the vineyard that didn't complain, it didn't matter where they started at, 3, 4, 5, 6, didn't matter. They had nothing to say. The reason why is because somewhere in the vineyard, which was life, the trek of life, as long as you live, they lost their self-identity and found His identity, which is they became the bond slave of Jesus Christ. And it did not matter to them what they got. All they wanted was this. I must know Him and serve Him. Hallelujah. 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 So He talked about that and He distinguished it. when all the virgins came together. They were all His. Virgins meaning that they were pure in spirit. A bunch of people come together and they all use the same words. And when they lift their hands, He responds to them the same way because they've got the same pneuma, the same spirit. They'll hug one another, love one another. The only thing is, it's up to you whether you become part of the five on the right hand or the five on the left. Because the five on the left, they're still His. They were still born again. They had a virgin spirit. But the only thing is, the five on the right, at some point in their life, had chosen out of fellowship with Him to say, "Look, I want to know You and I want to do everything I can. I mean everything I can to continue to be listening and keep my life full of oil and keep my lamps, as the song says, trimmed and burning." That's up to you. Once you're born again, you're still His child. The only thing is the selection of how close you'll get to Him. Somebody said, "Oh, they're real close to God." You know why? Because they want to be. Because they want to be. You're as close to Him today as you want to be. You're either part of one five or you're part of the other five. I've chosen to be chosen. Hallelujah. I've chosen to be able to hear His voice in these last days, and know this, He is coming back after a church without spot and without blemish. A glorious church. Hallelujah. 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 So even in this, Paul cited in the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, and he said, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Meaning, if somebody pulled your strings, showed you pictures, and I'm not against that, but if they used it as a manipulative tool to show babies, big-bellied, starving, malnourished, and then they told you, if you did not, someone's just going to die in your stead because you weren't obedient. Paul said, even with me coming to you, the best that I can do is this. Tell you that He loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because you got the opportunity in this life to write the check or give the amount, not because somebody pulled something on you or manipulated some string of your heart, but you said, "Okay, I love You. And out of the abundance of my heart, I'll give and be part of the support of an ongoing mission that Immokalee is in revival." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. So if you're making out a check, Family Prayer Center, some envelopes, you can grab one of them and you can get ready to give. There's two ways in the New Testament to give. One, the Holy Spirit speak to you and give you a specific amount you decide on in your heart. Two, in that same scripture that I was quoting, 2 Corinthians 9, as a man purposes in his own heart, meaning you just decide in your own heart and say, "Okay, this is what I believe that I want to give." So why don't we just pause right now and ask Him. Hallelujah, Father, we love You. Give You all the praise. My goodness, thank You, Father, for the day of resurrection and all those who've come to celebrate it. So we bless You. We bless You. And we give out of that abundance in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right. You can stand and get ready to bring this. Hallelujah. And you've already hugged each other. But I think if you hug just a little bit, you'd be all right. All right, go ahead. And Matt, if you'll give us something. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Just stretch your faith this way. Father, we love You and we praise You. Great grace. Great grace. Immokalee is in revival. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. 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 We worship just a little bit more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, Lord. Monste fremachke. Tom fremandia se. Pichtera floma. For every man and woman that has this hope in them purifieth himself, even as they are pure. But know this, to all those who are able to hear my voice, are drawn into me in this hour and in these days. Begin to lay aside every weight and sin that would easily beset you, and run all the more with patience the race that is set before you. For soon the harvest will enter in to a great outpouring and come to a place that you'll be swept away with many waters, to the point that you'll have almost an endeavor to keep your head above the great flux of glory that'll come in with great sweeping moves of my presence. And know this, that to all the little ones, those that will be born in this outpouring, they'll need your strength. They'll need that which you found of me to be faithful and true, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The promise of His coming. He left so many different ones. And usually when they go into eschatology, end time events, they'll be talking about, they'll put the graphs up, and not against it. Dragons, dungeons, flying horses, and scorpions with men's faces. And it's a lot, really. The interpretation of that, it's amazing how that's all going to pan out, and people will, that are looking for it, will recognize that the reality of, even in the human side of it, that we live in, it'll be very recognizable. But I don't know what part we're already in. But already we're in it. And Daniel and John's writings are, they're coming full bore. He's coming back. A monarch is coming. Doesn't matter who's in the White House, a monarch is coming. And by the word of His mouth, it'll just change everything. Hallelujah. He won't rule as a dictator, a vicious dictator. He'll be a monarch, the king that'll rule. See, one of the things that is the sign of His coming is numerous. A lot of times we think of cataclysmic. Wow. Moon to blood, sun darkened. All those kinds of things. Book of Joel. Daniel. Book of Revelation. And those things will happen, just like He said. But we miss sometimes the subtle things of the sign of His coming. But I can tell you, for me, a big part of it, it started not too long ago. We crossed some kind of threshold in the Spirit. And it's not that we haven't been coming to that threshold for a long, long time. In fact, the Word says that He, Christ, was crucified at the end of the world. At the end of the world hasn't come to an end. No, I know. But as God is, in God's eyes, all of history culminated on the cross. Everything before and everything for the future events all culminated in one man, Christ Jesus, His finished work. That was the end of the world. That was the conclusion of all things as far as God is concerned. So we've been passing, getting closer to this threshold. And I've been saying, like E.T., phone home, There's a signal going off in me that says, He is coming. And Peter said, when they begin to say, and the scoffers will say, well, when is this? When will He? Because things continue as they are, as they always were. But if you just disclose or just disregard, which we wouldn't, the natural disasters and all the human wars and earthquakes and anything that you could say, oh, this is probably a sign. One of those other signs that Paul or Peter rather in 2nd, 3rd chapter, 2nd Peter. He said, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is 1,000 years with the Lord. And he was talking about His coming. He was talking about a time when we were going to enter into a timelessness. A timelessness. And there's two or three things that just keep witnessing over to my heart that this man, this monarch, is coming. One, the last thing He said at the end of the book was this. Here's your litmus test. Here's, okay, I hope I do pretty good on this one, God. If you don't, you've got time to change it. He said, here's the outcry. The Spirit and the Bride are begging Him, come back. They say together, come, Lord Jesus, and come now, and come quickly. See, we can go through. Not, you might be a redneck if, but you might be one of the five wise if the things in this life are getting to a place where they begin to annoy you, just even the contemplation to have more and bigger and better and this and that. And all you want is to somehow, like some junk food junkie that has something tucked away in some crazed part of the back bedroom that they sneak into in the middle of the night and pull out that Twinkie. You're something inside of you is saying, hey, all I want is I can buy more time to spend more time with Him. If I could, I know I can't because it's not the responsible thing to do, but if I could, I'd quit my job and just spend all day, every day with Him, because all I want is something inside of me calls out with this report, come back, I want to be with You. I've got to spend eternity with You. And if the craze to have more and the worry of having less is still part, then there's still something that needs to be worked on. Nevertheless, don't worry about it. Pray. Give yourself over. Because if you ever get kissed by your lover, you won't want to go back. Something is in the inside saying He's coming back. And what does it matter? My God, what do you mean? You mean to tell me with Him coming back and all He's offered, you mean you're going to try to talk me into, beg me into, worrying about this? Worrying about this? A provision that He said that He'd already provided? He said, if I just seek Him, that was a mundane. It wasn't even something that I had to even attend to. Do you think He, the Master, went from village to village confessing? Although I believe in confessing. Do you think He said, I say, Father, Father, I say that I'm not going to run out. I'm not going to run out. No, He just went from village to village doing the will of His Father. And the provision was always in front of Him. It was never behind Him. It was always right there all the time when He needed it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Besides for that, the subtlety. Okay, when's the moon going to turn to blood? I don't know. I do know that one part of the promise of His coming is something is going off on the inside of me. You say, well, that's just a hunger that you've got through prayer. Oh, no, through prayer, an ignition has started. Something on the time clock is, something is signaling to me. And I got to cry out to you and tell you, listen, our days are short. But sandwiched somewhere in between this one coming back is a great outpouring of His Spirit. Peter said this. Why did he say that? Why would he say something like this when he's talking about the Lord coming back? Because he was also signifying another part. Daniel said, this is one part. Daniel said, in those days, knowledge will increase. Knowledge. Twitter, Facebook. Instantaneous news around the world 24 hours. Pick up an instrument that's not even connected to anything in the air. No line on it. And I know exactly what's going on at all times, every place on the planet. And because knowledge would increase, men would run to and fro. And Daniel prophesied of our day. Part of it he understood and part of it he didn't. And the part he scratched his head and said, I don't understand. God said, lock it up, Daniel, for those things will be revealed to that generation that stands therein or becomes a part of it. Now, I can tell you this. When Peter said in 2 Peter 3 that 1,000 years is as a day and a day is 1,000 years, he wasn't just talking about something that we could admire and say, wow, God just lives in timelessness. He was also talking about the events, whereas that last generation, because of knowledge and because of the spread of knowledge and because their fast-paced world would get into a place where they would become part of what was coming. They'd become part of what was coming. There's another dimension. That dimension that he lives in. I was so intrigued when I found out. I already knew it, and I did another study on it recently because of what I'd heard years before, and I brushed up on my study. The man that wasn't even a preacher was a brilliant mind. He broke down his theory of relativity into four parts concerning time travel and the speed of light. When Einstein said, no animate or inanimate object can ever go past the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. I can't even go into all his equations and how he deduced it, but this is what that man deduced. Once you get closer and enter into that speed of light, the relevancy of time comes to a standstill. There's no more relevancy of having spent any time. In other words, 10,000 years could pass, and to you, it'd be like a moment. Those that have gone on before us, we're going to hug them on the resurrection. Oh, I missed you all these years. And their reality, which is a reality, they'll look at you and say, what years? I've just stepped over the line. See, where he lives is what created this world. Now listen. 1 John said God is light. He wasn't made by light. He is light. And all the characteristics and all the quality of light, 186,000 miles per second, the absence of all time. He can move laterally, forwardly, backwards, horizontally, every way in time because there is no time with Him. But everybody that's living with Him is living in a timelessness. But guess what? Time is only arrived by something speeding up, Einstein said. And he said the other part, there was four parts to his equation, but the other part was that as something gets closer to, an object gets closer, Now, I'd have to read it to you because I can't say it in layman's language, but that object begins to disappear. They do live in an invisible realm to us, but they're quite real. But as that any object speeds up, it gets closer to a timelessness. The woman is vacuuming her carpet, and the suction reaches out. Oh, let's say it's real powerful vacuum cleaner. It pulls anything from 3 feet away. There's a lint. It's fallen off the couch. You put it under a microscope. It's got all the threads and the DNA of that couch in it. And as that lint, as that vacuum cleaner gets closer to that lint scurries across. It's moving towards being sucked up in that vacuum. Soon the reality of where that lint's at will be in that vacuum. But while it's still that lint, it's still everything that it is. The only thing, it starts moving towards something that's pulling us. Pulling it. Let me tell you something. The reason why you think that it was only yesterday that we were here having last Easter, and the reason why you think that you cannot believe that it's going into the second quarter of 2010 and we just started 2009. Guess what? It's going to get even worse. You'll turn around and every day will be a Monday. Every day will be a Tuesday. You cannot figure it out mathematically. It's still 7 in a week. It's still 24 in a day. It's still 7 in a week. It's 52 in a year and 365 on everything else except leap. It's still the same, but as far as the atmosphere, something is drawing us and we're getting closer to the atmosphere of that which is drawing us. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. And something inside of me is saying, don't worry about that. Oh, don't worry about that. You're carefree. Thank you. Thank you. And sometimes people that are falling apart will, aren't you good? Why you? You need to. Sometimes their lives are falling apart like a cheap watch. Ping, ping, spring here, spring there. And they can't understand why their emergency and their dilemma doesn't constitute an emergency and a dilemma on your part. Don't you care if we're perishing up here? What? We're dying here. Water's in the boat and we're sinking. Aren't you going to do something? I got you sinking right here. Peace be still. That's my boy Travis. You gotta come now. What? You've got to come now. Well, why? Because he's dying. Well, how close is he to you? Best friend I've ever, besides for the disciples, Lazarus is the best friend. I ate in his house, spent a lot of time. You better come now. No, that's not what peace inside of me says to do. You uncaring. You know they were as sweet as they could be, as sweet as Mary could be. Master, if you had not tarried, he wouldn't have died. You better do it now. No. 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 Your emergency doesn't constitute an emergency on my part. Why? Because I'm getting closer to a realm that's pulling me in, that says, okay, I'll run just as fast as He wants me when He says. But if He says stay, I'll stay. Why? Because it's impossible for this ship to go down. And an emergency cry by anything other than His Spirit does not constitute an emergency on my part. I've been born again. Hallelujah. You uncaring outfit, you. Can't you cry? Get upset. Have a nervous breakdown with us. Let's see. I can't. I can't worry. Well, then you don't care. No, I don't care. But I care about you. I'd like for you to have the same peace that I walk in. Well, He divinely chose you and you're called of God. And so you get the opportunity to spend time in His presence. Isn't that what He called all of us to do? Isn't that what He called us all to do? I thought I was going to hear a sermon about the resurrection. You are. This is the power of that resurrection. Hallelujah. This one that's been born again. Darwin. He's smarter than Darwin's theory of evolution. My Darwin. You know, Kathy's Darwin. It's our Darwin. Hers first, mine second. He said that thing that they're trying to deduce of the shroud, they say it's Jesus's, the image of the face. He said it couldn't be. She said, why? Because He said that you can see the man's face in it. And He said, Isaiah said, that His image was marred, unrecognizable, more than any man's. So His impression in any cast, you couldn't even recognize it as a human being. Isaiah said it would be marred than any man, more than the sons of men, meaning any generation that ever existed prior to or after train wrecks, car crashes, planes, it did not matter. Why? Well, there's been some horrific things take place, Pastor. Body's been mutilated, cut up, torn, twisted. How could Isaiah say that? He said it because it wasn't just the physical contortions that distorted the image of Jesus. It was all of everyone's sin, beginning from the beginning of all creation, all of the wrath of God being poured out on Him. And even prior to before He got there, the capillaries in his skin around His brain began to burst and began to sweat great drops of blood. And as this thing began to come on Him, He said, my God, you talk about one that loves you. Nobody loved you like Him. The husband, the wife, the child that you love, you can't love them like He loved you except through Him. Let's just talk about Him just for a second. We sang a song, He's the firstborn from the dead. But let me tell you something. Had He stretched Himself out between heaven and earth and cried, Abba, Father, it's finished, and died physically, and that been the only thing, just a physical death, then we're still standing here, destitute. Destitute. When He said He created I provided a lamb before the foundation of the world, He looked into humanity and said, let's the Godhead plan their destiny. It wasn't His destiny for us that we fall, but He saw that this madman, this mad creature, Lucifer, came. And Moses is real allegorical, real, I promise you, in those first, he's real allegorical. If you think that a snake was in a tree talking, then we've got a nursery over there. No, Adam, they knew they had dominion over those. Everything. This serpent was created. He was part of our creation in that he was sent to serve us. Somebody said, why couldn't God just forgive him? Why didn't he just forgive Adam? He couldn't. He would have. The only thing is, when he said, you'll die the day that you have any kind of transgression with this other side. And it was real bad what happened. Real bad. All of creation was compressed down into it. Prior to the fall, it said, and these are seed-bearing herbs and plants, and they'll be fruit. They'll be meat for every creature. Just think, the lion. What was his appetite? Even if every creature had been born or been created pregnant, they'd just had that one, and in a day's time, all. I mean, you couldn't have gone through 2 days and there wouldn't be any more deer, antelope, or anything. The fall compressed all of animal life and everything down into it. But when Jesus said, or God said, the day that you eat thereof, you'll die. He wasn't talking about physical death. Adam lived another 700-800 years. He was talking about a spiritual death. A spiritual death. The DNA of that man on the inside would die. It was a loss of communication. It was a loss of rapport. It was a loss of an ability to communicate with God. Then this man steps up 2,000 years, takes time. He said, why? Why didn't he do it in the next? Listen, God got Mary in the earth. You know how I feel about that. We're nowhere near Mary worship. But he got her in the earth as quick as she could. He had to have the right woman at the right place at the right time, and the man that would preserve, and the man that would go along with it. And see, this is how God works. It's like a digital effect. He knows everything, but how He knows everything usually works on your ever-changing thought. You could say, let's see, God, let me give you some calculations. What will I be doing 20 years from now? He can tell you. Why? Because based on what you're doing today, He calculates every changing thought, every change. What if I marry Bob? What if I marry Sue? What? He can give it to you just like that, because this thought will change into that and that and that and that. God, it's kind of like digits. You touch one and at the end of it, it's there. It's that domino effect. God looked down and said, there will be that woman, and that woman I'm sending, she'll be a virgin. She'll bear my son. He's the second member of the Godhead, the Logos. And what he's going to come and do is he's going to come and restore my family to me. Because when Adam died spiritually, he couldn't just forgive him. He could have said, okay, I forgive you. But it would not have changed his DNA on the inside. Something had to change. And every time any woman, man came together and their seed produced, the spiritual fall, that DNA passed down to them. God couldn't just forgive Adam. He didn't want him back like he was after the fall. He wanted him back like he was before the fall, as a son that he could fellowship with, as daughters that he could fellowship with. And so that's why Jesus came. He stood down, God in the flesh. But let me tell you something. It wasn't just his physical death. He had to his own self die. He who knew no sin became sin. In other words, it was compressed down inside of him. This is why he's standing there in the garden saying, oh my God, if this can pass from him. I mean, the man knows from Isaiah all the way forward, all the way from the beginning, in Genesis. I mean, it's prophesied right then. A seed will come. He'll crush Satan's. He knows all those scriptures. He knows what he's supposed to do. And yet the marismos between soul and spirit comes to a dividing factor. And he said, oh my God, three times he goes before the Father. Here's the most sealed soul to the Spirit that man has ever known. He walked in a oneness. And yet when it came down to it, it wasn't just giving up his physical body that he was having a fight with. He was about to be separated from the life of God, just like Adam was when he ate the forbidden fruit. And he's gone, oh God, I know I was born for this, but is there any? A million calculations, God later says, sorry, son. There's no other way. You've got to go through this death. And when he said, Abba, why hast thou forsaken me, my friend? I'm telling you this. It wasn't just his physical ticker that stopped that bought your salvation. This man died spiritually as a sinner. Went down into... Read Psalm 16. Read Psalms 18. Read Psalms 88. He said, I found myself in the depths of Sheol. I found myself friend and lover. Everybody's cut off from me. I'm in the land of forgottenness. He's actually there in that place that all mankind was condemned to. He's suffering there in that place in a forbidden darkness, dying and agonizing in those 3 days and three nights as a lost sinner. Suffering. He said, the bulls of Bashan have surrounded me. He spoke prophetically of the demons that tormented him in that place of the damned. Where do you think he was at, Pastor? Oh, my friend, who's like a father to me, saw him in a vision. Isaiah, Psalms 88 said, I lifted up my hands in that place of the dead. My friend said that he saw him. He said, you couldn't hang that picture in your kitchen. Jesus prophesied of a place where the worm dieth not. He said, I saw those worms in and out of his body. I saw him, this man, crying out, oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy upon me, deliver me from this place. But guess what? On the third day, this man, oh God, that loves you more than life itself, destined to come out of it. That's enough, boy. You paid the price. Now everybody that follows you in this will be just like you. They'll receive that same nature that's born from above. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why don't you stand on your feet and give Him praise? Whew, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in here today, you've never accepted Him, it's so easy. It's so easy. Anybody can do it. God, watching too much. Jesus, all you have to say is, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood, and you will be born again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Matt, give us one. Let's just worship through one. Hallelujah. At least before we go home. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Mando calesiato, blessed did he. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have you had a good time? Lights on, maybe? Glory. Whew. Hallelujah. Miss Barbara, come and say a blessing over our day and close this service out. Hallelujah. Bless their food. Bless their everything. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Father, we just want to thank you for this glorious day. That those that have a heart after you, that run after you, you'll fill them with joy and love this day. And we give you all the glory and all the praise for everyone that is born again, everyone that is filled with your Spirit, and everyone that the grace of God has covered. So we're going to go and enjoy the rest of the day. But Father, walk with us. Let us speak your words. Let us hear your voice. And let us have the mind of Christ throughout the whole rest of this day. And we give you all the praise. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.